It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Training camp is underway. Practice is underway. This week, we have an actual football game to break down, the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. And some words for a rookie QB that might be making his NFL debut in Canton on Thursday night. It is also, Joe, the start of fall camp for many of those power conference programs around the country in college football. As Thursday is the first day of August, a month in which actual regular season college football games will be contested. What a Tuesday we have on FFC.
Oh, baby, the calm before the storm. That's my saying as we inch closer to the start of the 2024 college football season. We do get football this week, Ben. I mean, Hall of Fame game. I know a lot of people don't like playing it, but I love dipping the toe in the water, whether it be, you know, a prop bet or the total. I still am going to watch that game on Thursday night in regards to Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears. A lot of pressure on this team. And this is it. Football season, in my opinion, is officially here. There is no turning back until late February, early March. That's when we take a little bit of a break and we take a recap. But right now, it's 2024 college and pro seasons here, baby.
Listen, you know that we ain't taking no breaks. You know that we are going to have some winning wagers giving out to you on Thursday for that Hall of Fame game. So let's start there, Joe, with what Caleb Williams had to say. He wants to play in the Hall of Fame game. He wants to be out there. Oftentimes, Lisi guy, the starters do not play, although it is the first of three preseason games. And in fact, the Bears and the Texans will play an additional preseason game, I am pretty sure. I will double check that statement here in just a moment. But Lisi guy, when it comes to these two teams, you don't often see starters. We're not going to see CJ Stroud. We're not going to see Stephon Diggs on the other side for the Houston Texans. But it's a little bit different, right? When your starting quarterback is a rookie quarterback looking to take those first snaps and get acquainted to the National Football League. So thus, I think it does in fact open the door that maybe we see at least a series, two series out of Caleb Williams on Thursday night.
Oh, I think it's important, too. You know, the first overall pick, he's coming from college, did struggle at times in regards to, you know, consistency. And this is what you want to see now, the elevation from the college game to the NFL game, right? I think playing a quarter is not bad to get him, you know, at least acclimated to the environment, especially when all eyes are on this team to potentially be a dark horse and make the playoffs an 8.5 win total. So I don't think it would be wrong for Matt Eberflus and the offensive staff to put and insert Caleb Williams there with the first team. Let's see how it plays out. If there is any, let's say, weaknesses, at least we can make those adjustments throughout the preseason.
Yeah, you know, I would think so as well. And just to confirm, both the Bears and the Texans will have three regular preseason games after this. So the same amount on the slate even after the Hall of Fame game, the exhibition in Canton, Ohio, the home of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. So you could make an argument, all right, he's not actually losing any time if he's not out there for a possession or two on Thursday night. He is still going to get those opportunities in the three preseason games that follow what we will see on Thursday. I would think he can be out there. Yes, the game does not matter. Yes, it means nothing despite the enthusiasm behind the start of a football season. If he were to be injured, you do not want to put your quarterback in that moment, of course, we understand the risks that are involved anytime a player steps out on a football field. And you don't need to add any additional potential opportunities for the new face of your franchise to get banged up or injured. Stunt his development, cost him games during his rookie season for Chicago. But it would be good, I think, to see him out there, even for just one possession. So, are we going to see starters? Keenan Allen's not going to be there. DJ Moore's not going to be out there playing. Might we see some of the other rookies for the Bears? Sure. Guys trying to earn those spots on the roster? Absolutely. But if I think Caleb Williams can get a drive, that would be worth making this Hall of Fame game notable, as it is even more exciting come Thursday.
Yeah, again, it's more important for Caleb than it is CJ and the Houston Texans. Even though CJ is in his sophomore and second season, he does have multiple playmakers there. He developed with Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Tank Dell coming off the injury, you want to, you know, ease him back in regards to, you know, week one action at the start of the regular season. So, you know, there's more risk with the Houston Texans, in my opinion, than the Chicago Bears. And the reason why I say that is they need to know if the top guy in the draft is ready to play at the next level. And you need to make that assessment in today's NFL, Ben, sooner rather than later. So get him acclimated, give him one or two series, get him out of there, and let's work on his adjustments throughout the preseason to get him ready for week one. Because, again, you know, there is a bullseye on this team's back. This is not an under-the-radar team like Houston last year. They're expected to potentially be a wild-card contender, and more importantly, Ben, a divisional challenger to the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, no doubt. They're favored to make the postseason right now. It's a minus 105 price. It has actually moved back ever so slightly. But the Chicago Bears are expected to contend for a wild card spot within the NFC. And of course, Joe, it is a natural conclusion to look at the potential negative impacts. God forbid an injury. The game doesn't matter. But you could also look at the benefits having an additional preseason and exhibition game presents for a young quarterback taking that next step to the National Football League. It gives Caleb Williams, even if it's one series, even if it's three throws, an opportunity to get reps against NFL competition, additional reps over his competition. And here's what Caleb Williams had to say about it yesterday. "I would love to get out there and play," is what Williams said, quote. "It's pretty awesome to be at Canton, but it's a coach's decision." So ultimately, it will be Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron and everybody involved, Ryan Poles with that Bears brass, that makes the ultimate decision on if Caleb Williams is going to play. The line is out. The Bears are a slight 1.5-point favorite, minus 130 on the money line. The total is 31.5. Later in this week, we'll give you some of the betting trends for the Hall of Fame game that you should know. Often they stay under, as it is not the prettiest football that you would ever see in the very first football game of the NFL campaign. We're not going to see those big names on either side, except maybe Caleb Williams, and that will be really not all that much of game time. But Joe, one of the things you have to love about preseason in general, but here in the Hall of Fame game, it's an additional opportunity that guys are trying to flirt with the 53-man roster to make practice squad spots, to go out there and earn it. And that motivation should never be overlooked, and the game's significance thus should never be diminished as well.
No, you're right. Again, it is guys fighting for jobs, second and third teamers, special teams guys. We know that the kickoff rules have changed. How does that equate in terms of maybe making or breaking potential rosters? And we see the differences now with the onside rules, right, in regards to the new rules proposed, and that will take effect this year. So there's a number of different position battles that take place, and if you're a college football fan like we are, we live it, we breathe it, you still want to see these players perform on the next level in any capacity. So that allows you to watch the football game. And I'll just take it a step further. As long as you could bet on it, we bet on the Olympics, we bet on everything else. Why not bet on a preseason football game on a Thursday night?
Absolutely so. We will have some winning wagers for you later this week. Speaking of Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, of course, the focus of Hard Knocks training camp with the Bears that will debut in just a few weeks. The first trailer, as of this Tuesday afternoon, is now out. I know when we get to the commercial break in less than about 45 seconds, I will be watching that. We'll give some thoughts on it on the other side. We will talk elsewhere around the NFL. We will talk practice in New York for the Jets. The pads were on, but the ball was sloppy yesterday, leading Aaron Rodgers to scream at some of his teammates, not happy with the level of performance and execution in Fordham Park. Are we concerned? We'll debate up next here on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. As promised, I did watch the first trailer for HBO's Hard Knocks training camp with the Chicago Bears. Only just about a minute for a show that will debut in just a few weeks. But boy, oh boy, the Hard Knocks theme music hits. I know it's not necessarily the same stature that it used to have because we see practice video every day. Social media teams are basically their own Hard Knocks units and documentary teams at this moment. But boy, oh boy, Lisi, that Hard Knocks music hits and football is right around the corner. It's going to be a great season with the Chicago Bears.
Oh, it is. The Chicago Bears, right? This is it. I cannot believe that this team has as much optimism in terms of the book perspective regarding Caleb and just, you know, him coming in and automatically turning around this franchise and organization. We know about the woes for Chicago. We know about the situation with Matt Eberflus, potential dead man walking and lame duck coach, and how the books just value this team overall. And again, you look at the team last year in Houston that did select C.J. Stroud second overall, and there still wasn't optimism surrounding Houston, right? In terms of the type of run that they had, I mean, not a lot of people saw that coming. And now we're putting and anointing that on Caleb Williams, an organization that has their failures over the past 20 seasons. The only bright spot was when Lovie Smith took him to a Super Bowl against New Orleans, and then from that point on, it's been disappointing season after disappointing season. So again, we'll see how this plays out, but this is a huge ask from a top overall draft pick in just year number one.
It is a really good point, Joe, right? Because the Chicago Bears, although drafting number one, were not slotted to pick number one based on their own record. Of course, it was the trade from a year prior that allowed the Carolina Panthers that first overall pick in 2023, and then what became of it in 2024. The Bears were originally slotted to draft ninth. That's what they used to draft Rome Odunze. I bring that up because that's part of the background and at least the foundation for this Bears team that has led to optimism. It's not strictly Caleb Williams. Of course, that is a huge component of it. But I say it, Joe, because the Bears won five of their final seven games last year. Of course, it led us to the belief, could it be Justin Fields continuously in the Windy City? Ultimately, that was not the conclusion Chicago made. So Caleb Williams gets there. They make the improvements offensively. That side of the football only expected to be better, and the defense was darn good last year under Matt Eberflus. But I think your point is sound. It's almost revisionist history, right? We look at C.J. Stroud. Can Caleb Williams be the offensive rookie of the year? Maybe even an MVP contender, as Stroud was during certain points of his rookie campaign. But that came out of nowhere. Houston had a win total of 6.5 a season ago, and the under had the juice. They were expected to be a bad football team, 5-12, 6-11 at best, not 9-8, 10-7, expected to contend for a wild card spot. So there is that big gap in expectations. We shall see if Caleb Williams matches it. Of course, sky-high expectations, Joe, in and around the Big Apple for Aaron Rodgers, now fully healthy once again in the New York Jets. But yesterday at practice on a Monday afternoon in Thorne Park, the first time New York had put on the pads this training camp, and it was ugly. Offense was struggling. Joe Tippmann, the second-year center out of Wisconsin, couldn't snap the ball correctly. Alan Lazard dropped a pass that was intended for him based on practice reports, and it led to Aaron Rodgers getting in the face of his teammates and demanding they be better. Everybody is cool with that. You want your veteran quarterback to hold you accountable and to reach that level of execution that it takes to be a true contender in the AFC. Joe, are you concerned at all by the reports out of practice early for the Jets, or is it, hey, it's just the growing pains of a new season?
No, absolutely I'm concerned. And this is this poses a bigger question and concern for the New York Jets. Hey, Aaron, you know what? When you're at mandatory OTAs, then talk to me. You get that type of situation from a guy that chose not to be there to go on vacation. And that's the situation about Aaron Rodgers and then everybody else. He demands, you know, perfection out of his teammates. But where's the perfection out of Aaron Rodgers as it relates to his team, as it relates to on the field, in terms of the football perspective? Forget the off-the-field antics. Forget his opinions about politics. That's not important. What we're talking about is the football aspect of the New York Jets. If you're dialed in and you're the leader of that team and you're making $50 million and you want to turn around the New York Jets and potentially bring not just an AFC championship to New York, but a Super Bowl, since you haven't had it since 1969, you get your ass on the football field. You buckle up, you shut your mouth, and you don't call anybody out because it's a 53-man roster, right? That is the problem. We saw it play out with Russell Wilson in Denver and Seattle. Potentially, this situation could implode before the season even starts, Ben.
Lisey be preaching right now. I love it, Lisey guy. And again, none of this is a big deal. Aaron Rodgers should demand the absolute best for a New York Jets team that has the second best price to win the AFC East, that is favored to snap a 13-year playoff drought and see the postseason in the competitive conference that is the AFC this year. But it is difficult when you have asked to not have any drama or distraction in your own house, and you have been the main reason for drama and distraction. This is not that. This is actual football. This is the stuff you would hope Aaron Rodgers is only focused on, but we shall see. Oftentimes, Joe, we say at this stage of the preseason, of training camp, you just want everybody feeling good. Spirits should be high. There should only be optimism. It should only be for us to ask questions on if they will reach that level of expectation, not to really do anything that presents the idea that nothing is good or that this team will fail to meet expectation. That's just kind of how I feel about the New York Jets at this moment.
Oh, I feel that way 100%, Ben. And I told you, you know, I came right out and said 9.5 win total, sold. It has nothing to do with the talent on paper. Has to do with the continuity in the locker room. And that's something that people don't take into account. And it starts with the head. Aaron Rodgers is the head of the New York Jets franchise.
There is no doubt about it, Joe. Everything will be judged through the scope that is Aaron Rodgers. It comes with playing in New York. It comes with being number 12 for this team. All right, that does it for that conversation around the Jets and training camp at this moment. We'll try to explain the new kickoff rules so you are ready for a new NFL season. Up next, you're on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Joe, there's been a lot of conversation about something that might catch some NFL fans by surprise when actual games start to be played in the preseason and, of course, the Hall of Fame game on Thursday. It's the new NFL kickoff rule put into place this year that completely reshapes what kickoffs have been really the last 30 years or so, but certainly in the last few seasons, where we have not seen many balls return. Less than 25% of kickoffs in 2023, I believe it was only 21, were actually returned in put into play. There's been some conversations that have come out that have sparked this debate once again within the last 24 hours because of the lack of onside kicking that we will really see. Onside kicking with the old kickoff rules was really not a factor in the game. But based on the new NFL kickoff rules, Joe, onside kicks are illegal before the fourth quarter. The team must be losing to kick an onside kick. Team must announce its intention to kick an onside kick ahead of time. So those surprise plays to start off a half, or if your kicker sees something, those are out the window. But the reason, Joe, I think the logistics behind these decisions is because of the format, the structure, and the formations of where the new kickoff rule is going into place.
Yeah, again, I like the new kickoff rule. I believe special teams deserve a part in both college and the NFL, and I like to see the return game. You have a great returner, Ben. That could change the whole momentum of a game, a punt return, a kickoff return as well. And the fact that they're minimizing the high-impact blows, especially early on, I don't have a problem with it. Again, I'd rather see that than just put the football on the 30-yard line or the 25-yard line, and that's it, right? So for me, I'm happy with it. I think it's a great rule. It allows players to actually, you know, be a part of a team in terms of the specials, and that is a part of football. That is it. Yep. We know, hey, game's on the line. It's tie, score. You know, you get a punt return. Set up that gate, baby. You know, give me you can't do the blindside crackback blocks, but hey, give me a block to set the tone, and I love it.
Yeah, absolutely so. So here is the new designation of the kickoff rule. The kicker will still kick the ball from his own 35-yard line, but instead of having everybody line up right next to him, whether they running start or not, he's going to be by himself. The kickoff defense team, the kicking team, will line up on the opponent's 40-yard line. So past midfield at the opponent and receiving team 40-yard line. They are not allowed to move until the ball is struck or kicked. Then they can start. The receiving team has 9 players in what is being referred to, Joe, in this area as the setup zone. 9 guys, where 7 have to be within the hashes, 2 can be on the outside if they feel fit. The setup zone is anywhere from the 35-yard line or the 30-yard line, so about 5 yards to 10 yards away from where the kickoff defense team is lined up. That kicking team lined up on the 40, the setup zone from the 35 to the 30. So again, you're not having guys barrel downfield with a 50-yard head start to try to take somebody's head off. You actually have blocking formations and the necessity of laying a good block or setting up a formation to have your returners have success. Then you have 2 guys who are back in what is called the landing zone. That is from where the goal line is to the 20-yard line. When the ball is kicked, the goal is to land it in the landing zone to have it be returned. If the ball lands in the landing zone, it must be returned. There are no fair catches in the landing zone from the goal line to the 20-yard line. There is no taking a knee once you receive it. The ball can land in the landing zone and trickle into the end zone, bounce into the end zone. Thus, you can down it there, or it must be returned. If you down it there, you bring it back to the 20. If the ball goes out of the end zone, it's a touchback to the 30-yard line. If the ball lands short of the landing zone, it will be deemed like a kickoff going out of bounds and will be brought back to the 40-yard line. That is the too long didn't read version of the new kickoff rules, Joe. And of course, that will be made to be a lot more clearer as the season plays out. And of course, a little bit difficult to do on radio without any visual displays. But I think your point overall, Joe, that you have a part of the game that is back with less of a threat of injury that truly brings back all 3 phases is a beautiful thing for football.
Oh, I agree 100%. Again, it's a part of the game that can really change the complexity as it relates to outcomes, and that's what you want to see, right? You just don't want to see them like play a flag type of football game. What good is that?
Yeah. And kickoffs were non-existent. They weren't a part of the game. It was, of course, a safety priority. Now safety is being prioritized here with bringing back excitement, opening spots that really matter on special teams, both on the return side and for the kicking team, and some creativity needed now in the National Football League. More here on Football Full Circle comes your way up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle, it is FFC. Lisi guy all around the country today. College football starts fall camp. We are going to have a ton of press conferences, of practice footage of our favorite college football programs out there on the gridiron getting ready for the 2024 campaign. Lisi, how about this? The Oregon Duck, Puddles, has made his way to Lincoln, Nebraska, a week after the big inflatable duck was posted in the White River in downtown Indy for Big Ten Media Days. The Oregon Duck, the actual mascot, is at Matt Rhule's opening fall camp press conference in Lincoln. Has the duck been a sign of the times and transfer portaled his way to be the new mascot of the Cornhuskers?
I love it. This is trolling at its best, right? Oregon, yeah. You know, ripping down the house in regards to, you know, Lincoln, Nebraska. You what? Look, they're the newbies in regards to the Big Ten. They have the second best price at 2-1 to win a Big Ten championship. We saw the transfer type of talent that they have, including Dylan Gabriel that comes over from Oklahoma. The stage is set for Dan Lanning and the Oregon Ducks to make headway. But you know, if you're Matt Rhule, you now have optimism. You have the ability to potentially get over the hump, a manageable schedule, right? 6.5, 7 wins, not out of the realm of possibility. And in a best case scenario, Ben, they could potentially start maybe 6-0 before they square off against Ohio State. So, I mean, there's optimism on both sides, but I love the fact that the Duck is making its rounds to all the big venues in the Big Ten. Gotta love it, yeah. Baby.
Get it ingratiated in its new home, that is for sure. That is something you can certainly say about the Oregon Duck. Billy Napier was at the podium today as Florida's about to start fall camp as well. He had this to say, Lisi, which caught many a little bit off guard, especially where he stands at the helm of the Florida football program. Billy Napier, quote, "I'm a firm believer that better people are better football players. We'll prove that this fall." And, quote, "On paper, it's a great thing. Of course, you want good people around you in your program to allow your football program to thrive. Some thought it might have been a shot at Kirby Smart in the Georgia Bulldogs football program that continues to deal with off-the-field and legal citations and issues this offseason. Some thought, hey, Billy, you know where you're speaking, right? That's in Gainesville, where your program won 2 national championships and Urban Meyer did not exactly cultivate a program that focused on being the best person first and foremost."
Yeah, I think they had, what, 41 arrests from that time that they won back-to-back? I saw a tweet in regards to that. So, yeah, I mean, Billy Napier shouldn't open his mouth about anything off the field. And the reason why I say that is you never know when, especially in terms of when Georgia and Florida square off in terms of that rivalry game where if you're behind in terms of the fourth quarter, don't expect Kirby Smart to let his foot off the gas. You need to win at least 7 or 8 football games. You need to make sure that this team is on the uptrend, though. Otherwise, you're not going to be coaching Gainesville in 2025. So why get involved in terms of all those antics, Ben, is beyond me. I mean, coaches should know better, especially now. I know there's optimism, but you know what? 4 months from now, when potentially your team is 4-6 and squaring off against Georgia, you think he's going to really like those comments then? So button up. Worry about on-the-field situations and stop talking about the other teams in the conference because you haven't been to the pinnacle since the days of Urban Meyer.
And let's call a spade here as well. Billy Napier should not be poking anybody on their schedule as Florida has the most difficult schedule by pretty much every single metric, whether it be your eyeballs, whether it be ESPN's football power index, whether it be combined team win totals and projections of anybody nationally in college football this year. Lisa, at the end of today's show, now that our good friend Donnie Wrightside has to take the reins on the money line starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time, we've been ending off the show with a football focus, whether it's in the National Football League for me or a college corner where we've been talking a lot of media days the last few weeks. And of course, today I wanted to make this point because I think to me it's one of the more fascinating case studies this year. Of course, sweeping changes to the landscape of college football this season. Conference realignment, expanded leagues, changing faces in new places, all of that good stuff. But most notably, Joe, for a lot of people around the country, it's the expansion of the college football playoff from 4 teams to 12. And anytime it's the debut year, anytime it's the first season of something, the inaugural time we are going through this, there is going to be so much to learn, right? Because we've never had a precedent or a track record set for what we are seeing. We are making the track record literally as we go. And then in years to follow, we can look back at recent examples and try to find some trends or some common themes, so on and so forth. That's not the case right now for the college football playoff in the expanded 12-team era. 5 automatic bids, 7 at-large berths. And Joe, then for us from a handicapping perspective, what I find so fascinating is how those at-large berths will be given out and what it means from the betting perspective. Joe, the 10 best prices to win a college or to make the college football playoff, 5 schools hail from the SEC. That's Georgia, Texas, Alabama, Ole Miss, LSU. 4 schools hail from the Big Ten, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and Michigan. And rounding out the top 10 is one independent football program, that's Notre Dame. Again, 10 best prices to make a 12-team college football playoff that does not even take into consideration the automatic bids we must give out to the 5 highest-ranked conference title winners. Of the 10 best prices, 5 from the SEC, 4 from the Big Ten, 1 independent program, that's Notre Dame. What do you make of that, Lacey?
Well, I think it's early on, you know, pricing the best teams in the country. That's how the books mitigate risk, right? So they can't have any objectivity in regards to this. They just have to look about the teams on paper and say, okay, how are we going to price them regardless of what the committee might do? I don't believe the committee will take 5 or 6 SEC or Big Ten teams. I potentially think the Big Ten maybe gets 3. It all depends on how you break it down and how these teams lose in regards to top 10 criteria, right? Because here, I'll throw one out there. We'll just use, you know, Penn State. I know that they square off against Ohio State. So if Penn State loses to Ohio State, and let's say Penn State loses to, I have to look at their schedule, but I don't think they play Michigan this year. Let's just say Washington, right? They play the whiteout game at Washington, right? Let's just say. If there's not another marquee top 25, you know, win for Penn State at 10-2, is the committee then going to take them? As opposed to, let's say, a team in Notre Dame, let's say 10-2, but loses 2 top 25 games by a total of 4 points, or has a top 10 win over someone, you know, on their schedule. Let's just say they play Florida State, they knock them off. That is the breakdown, I think, you know, that we look at, you know, in regards to the FPI and the quality wins, but the books can't look at it like that. They just have to say, okay, these are the 15 best teams that potentially could crack the college football playoff. We're not going to, you know, expose ourselves to that much risk and everybody else's gravy. That's the way I think you have to price it in year number one. Next year, I think we'll have much tighter odds.
And I think, Joe, that's a great point, right? You're taking the biggest programs from a national perspective and you are giving them what feels to be a fair price. And that makes a ton of sense in terms of winning a national championship, of having those opportunities. But with the new structure of a 12-team CFP, does it actually track, or does it allow the sports better then to find great value? For instance, Joe, we talked about Florida State last week, right? FSU has the 11th best price, just barely outside of the top 10, at a plus 160 number. I'll give you the top 10 and their prices on the other side of the break, but just this point on the Seminoles. You can bet Florida State at plus 160 to make the college football playoff if you think there's a chance of hedging your money between an ACC title and an at-large berth. or you can just bet Florida State at plus 270 to win the ACC as their clearest path to the college football playoff and that automatic bid as a conference champion. We'll continue the conversation next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
All right, Lisi guy, let's continue the handicapping perspective of the expanded 12-team college football playoff. Again, of the 10 best prices to reach the CFP, 5 hail from the SEC, 4 more from the Big Ten, and 1 independent program in Notre Dame. Here are those numbers. Ohio State has the best price, minus 650, Georgia minus 600, Oregon minus 290, Texas minus 230, Notre Dame minus 170. That's the 5 best, but there are 2 more teams in minus money favored to reach the college football playoff. Penn State at minus 145, Ole Miss at minus 125. Alabama next at an even money plus 100 number. LSU plus 125, the reigning national champs in Michigan at plus 130. Again, the top 10, 5 schools from the SEC, 4 from the Big Ten, and the independent program that is Notre Dame. Joe, if we were just going to track what the odds makers are saying, and I know you presented this point before, and I think it's very fair. National prominence, powerhouse programs, best chances to reach or win a college football playoff national championship. That's why we give them these prices from the odds makers' perspective. But if we were to follow what the odds makers are listing here, 5 SEC schools, 4 Big Ten schools, and the independent Notre Dame. Knowing the structure of the 12-team field, 5 automatic bids, 7 at-large berths. Joe, this would lead us to believe that the ACC, the Big 12, and whatever group of 5 conference has that 5th highest ranked conference title winner, those are the only bids for those leagues and anybody outside of the Big 10, the SEC, and Notre Dame, the independent.
Yeah, again, and that's the way it looks preseason, right? Because of right. what we just said. Now, that changes, you know, drastically after the first couple of weeks of the season. The reason why I say that is, let's just take a week one matchup. Georgia and Clemson, 13.5-point right. favorite, neutral field, even though it's potentially a home game for Georgia, right? They played a couple of years ago, it was 10-7. Let's just assume, let's just call, you know, Upset City, Klubnik and Clemson win week one. What do you think Clemson now all of a sudden? They're not going to be 205 to make the playoff. They might be minus 220, right? All of a sudden their sure. odds go from 4-1 to win the ACC to potentially chalk over Florida State without even having, you know, to play that matchup. So, again, and then Georgia goes from all of a sudden 3-1 to win an Natty to probably, yeah. I would say, maybe what? 6-1, 7-1? Because there really then is no more margin of error for the Bulldogs if you lose to an ACC team, right? You know, throughout the SEC schedule. So, again, that is how it will change. Look at Texas. Texas is right there, second best price to potentially win the SEC. They lose on the road to Michigan, a Michigan team priced as fourth best in the Big Ten at plus 750. Guess what happens then? Michigan goes from plus 125 to make the playoff to probably minus 220, right? They're probably the favorites over Ohio State to win the Big Ten, and that game doesn't even take place until Thanksgiving weekend. So, yes, early on, that's the price, but they changed drastically in the month of September, Ben.
No doubt, Joe, there is going to be market movement. I think we can both agree on that based on the results of the marquee matchups in the non-conference slate in the first few weeks of the 2024 college football season. However, it's very different this year. Let's take the Georgia-Clemson game, for example. The Dogs already a 2-touchdown favorite against Clemson, who has the second-best price through the Tigers to win the ACC. Georgia has the second-best price to get to the college football playoff at minus 600. Georgia is the favorite to win the SEC, plus 185. UGA, the favorites to win 3 national championships in the past 4 seasons at a plus 300 number. All of those set the expectation for what Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs are expected to do in 2024. But while your point is sound, Joe, that there would be market movement if Clemson were to pull off the outright upset as a 2-touchdown underdog, I don't know how much the odds makers would move Georgia's price. There would be market movement, and it would reflect the result, but it might then allow the bettor to have a chance to jump back in. Because you're right, Joe. Georgia would not be minus 600 to reach the college football playoff. They would not be the favorites any longer to win a national championship, and probably not even the SEC. But with the expansion of 12 teams, Georgia still has a great path. They could just win all nine or all eight of their SEC games and play in the conference championship and still earn that automatic berth, which they would still probably be favored in all eight of their conference matchups. That includes against Alabama for the first time in the regular season in quite some time, right? Or they could just win out from there, be an 11-1 football team, win the SEC, make that 12-1. They're probably the number one national seed in the country, earning that opening round bye in the college football playoff. So yes, the market would move, but there are so many different pathways now for the likes of a Georgia, Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, Alabama, LSU, that there weren't really in years past. In the decade-long four-team format era of the college football playoff, Georgia lose that opener, they can't lose again, right? We never saw a team with multiple losses make it to the college football playoff in the field of four in the 10 years. Georgia loses that game, although surprisingly, maybe this Georgia team is not nearly as good as we thought and the market would move. Their season is far from over.
No, you're right, but again, you know, yes and no, right? Because maybe, just maybe, what happens if, you know, Clemson wins week one and then has four losses in the ACC? Then all of a sudden we go back to those quad one wins, you know, as it relates to college basketball. That's, you know, a top 25 match. So, again, I'm a big believer, too, Ben, that, you know, it matters when you play these games, you know, and that's why I was strong in terms of Florida State. They knocked off Clemson in Death Valley when Clemson potentially was still alive for a national championship and, more importantly, an ACC title. So, again, when these wins occur is very important. And, again, you have to monitor. That's why you have to have an understanding. Okay, I believe Georgia, definitely a top 12 team, you know, in the country. If I buy them here at 3-1 and they fall to 6-1, I'm not bailing. I might double down and buy more. You really have to have an understanding and be strong on your overall assessment of each and every team.
You're correct, Joe. No doubt about it. You want to have that assessment. But unlike in years past where you could rip up the ticket if Georgia loses as a two-touchdown favorite, even in a marquee non-conference game, that ticket is very much alive and might even be a time for others to jump in at a better price. We'll continue that conversation next on Football Full Circle.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Football Full Circle with Joe Lisi and Ben Stevens.
Live right here on Football Full Circle. So, Lisi, let's continue the conversation from the odds perspective of what the expanded 12-team college football playoff is going to look like. Again, the 10 best prices hail from 5 from the SEC, 4 from the Big Ten, and Notre Dame, the independent. As we expand it even further to those 15 best prices, Florida State, the 11th best number, at plus 160, and then two other ACC teams, 2-1 Clemson, plus 210 Miami, with Missouri and Tennessee plus 180 and plus 195 respectively sandwiched in between. Lisi, I made the point earlier that if you follow what the odds makers are putting out there in terms of the top 10, with 5 of the schools from the SEC, 4 from the Big Ten, and 1 the independent Notre Dame, and then you look at the structure of the expanded 12-team field, 5 highest ranked conference champions earn that automatic berth, and then 7 at-large bids up for grabs, it pretty much goes to show that if you look at what the selection committee is going to use as their criteria and perhaps already their proven biases of, you know, looking at the Big Ten, looking at the SEC, those expanded leagues that are juggernauts, that we might only see one ACC team, that being the conference champion, one Big 12 team, that being the conference champion, a group of 5 highest-ranked conference title winner in Notre Dame potentially as the 4 teams that are not from the other 2 big 2 conferences, that being the Big Ten and SEC. Do you think that is a reality for 2024?
I do. I think, look, I think Florida State will be there. I think Notre Dame will be there and potentially Clemson as well. So, again, I'm a backer of two ACC teams and an independent. And then if there's another potential group of five outside the conference champion, maybe, just maybe. But outside of that, I'm banking on two ACC teams this year, Ben.
So you are banking on two ACC teams then. So that would mean an at-large berth within the conference as well. Of course, you would get the automatic bid for the ACC title winner and then the at-large bid for somebody ranked more than likely in the top 11 outside of that. I'm not so sure, Joe. I'm skeptical. Again, I think we're going to learn so much from this inaugural year of the 12-team format that we're going to see what that criteria the CFP uses is, how they look at these leagues, how they judge the ACC versus the SEC versus the Big Ten versus the Big 12. But I'm not so sure we will get multiple bid leagues from either the ACC or the Big 12. I know we're going to see at least three Big Ten and three SEC teams in there.
Yeah, that is a given. Three SEC, three Big Ten, I agree with that 100%. But again, you know, my Big Ten potentially, and I'll tell you, Ohio State, Oregon, and Michigan, I'm still not sold on Drew Aller and the Penn State and Nittany Lions. They have to show me something. So we'll see how that plays out. And again, I am back in both Ole Miss and LSU to be there in the SEC. So that only leaves one spot, baby. I think it's Georgia.
Yeah, it's a really good point, Joe. It's a really good point of where those spots will be up for grabs and who actually is in contention. Will the fourth place SEC team earn an at-large bid? Will they be ranked number 9 in the country, number 10, number 11? If they're number 12, are they on the outside looking in because of the automatic bid to the highest-ranked group of five conference champion? Again, so many of these fascinating conversations. And this is truly my favorite storyline, Joe, to monitor. Because again, when it's the first year, you get to learn. You don't have that track record. We're not teaching anybody anything outside of the format. You get to figure out what the CFP selection committee is looking at. And one of the interesting things always about the CFP rankings in the 10 years or the selection committee's ultimate determinations on that Sunday following conference championship Saturday, they would stress things one year that they wouldn't care about the next year. Head-to-head matchup, huge two seasons ago. Not so big in 2023. Conference championships at the Power 5 level, that matters most. Well, if you're a good enough program, maybe we give you a look there. So what exactly is that standard of criteria going to be? We only have one thing to do. Let's find out.
I can't wait, baby. This is it. This is it. No more waiting. Football season's here over the next couple of days. We're just about 24 days away. Cannot wait to the start of the 2024 campaign.
Yeah, it really is, Joe. 2 days until August 1st, which is not only an important date in the NFL calendar, it's the first preseason game of the year, the Hall of Fame game in Canton between the Chicago Bears and the Houston Texans. August means college football because college football will be played in this month. And that, my friends, is a beautiful thing. So beautiful, you guys want to call in. We'll give you the Sports Grid call-in number tomorrow. Start to hear from you a little bit on FFC as well. He's Joe Lisi. I'm Ben Stevens. The show returns tomorrow, noon Eastern time on Sports Grid Radio.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.